You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Stager.
All right. Happy holidays. I won't start singing. I do have like the Statler brother kind of voice. You know, that dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Nobody knows who the Statler brothers are. They're that one guy that has that really deep voice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, I'll find some Statler brothers and see if I can sell it. Play it and not break any copyright rules next time. So we're going to briefly talk. So what are we dealing with today? Today is
end of game situations.
Yeah. So 23rd.
Yeah,
so it is. Yeah. 23rd. Christmas is coming. So great time to buy yourself a Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, you get $350 off, and literally can't imagine a better time to go buy T-Tubes.com. Literally can't find a better time. Like, I know you're all off. Some of you are coaching, work on your craft, your home. You want to go to the office and get away from the kiddos. Come over and join it. Just have added a whole bunch of stuff. Just added a cool run and jump course. So all sorts of great stuff. So go over and check it out before prices increase. All right. So end of game situation. So the reason we're doing this is first of all, end of game situations is huge. And I told Jake before we started this that I wanted to do this for a couple reasons. There's going to be a tease come January that I'm coming out with something that's going to help you in practice with end of game situations. It's going to be on your phone. It's going to be your iPad. Boom. It's going to help you come up with ideas to do at end of game situations. I think it is an underutilized part of practice. What's your thoughts, Jake?
Definitely something that I took into consideration by watching other coaches and clinics in Ephesus. I always had like different situations already embedded in my practice that I wanted to go over. And then I started to, as years went on, it was just to pull cards. I had situational cards and stuff. But really, and you can do it throughout your whole practice. I take the situation idea that I got was from Coach Brian Wardle, who's now, I think, at Bradley University. And he would throughout
his – Is he at Bradley? Where did – he's been like kind of like that guy that just jumps. He was at Green Bay, and then where did he go?
I thought he's still at Bradley. I could be wrong. But he had some really good success at Green Bay, and I went to watch them practice. And what I picked up was is that they had like actual chairs at their practice where they would call a timeout or dead situation, and they would work on a situation, and then they would go do it. And throughout the practice, they'd do it like five or six times throughout the practice. They'd be like in a timeout situation, a dead ball situation. Here's a situation, draw it up, go do it, you know? And I just thought that was super cool. And it just brings that life and game situation into your practices. And the kids love it. You know, they just love it.
They do. And I think the key to it is you got to do it at different times of practice.
Right. You get them thinking.
because I'm guilty of, and I'm writing something down so I remember to talk about it here. So if you hear my keyboard, is I do it at all different times of practice just because I want to be caught off guard. Like,
right, and then it makes you a better coach.
It does. It does. And it makes me think, what am I going to do? And I want to feel that. I want to feel that pressure of not knowing what's going on, to be honest.
My other question is, before we get into that, is like, end of game situations, is it always a dead ball, you talking to the players, or here's the situation and go do it on the fly?
Sometimes like we'll do
like mixture. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, there's 5 seconds left. There's no timeout. It's underneath the basket. What are you guys going to do?
Yeah, we'll do both of them.
Because they ultimately happen all the time, right? Like, well,
here's what I want. I want that feeling of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That's what I want. I want my heart racing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I don't know the situation. So I think that's a big part of it. Well, how did you do it in your practices? Did you know the situation before you walked into practice? I don't like knowing them. I literally have an assistant tell me them or put them on the
board. Yeah, but I think, honestly, like, it depends on where you are in your career. So, like, I was a way younger coach, you know. I started to map out certain situations, so I was teaching myself how I would handle it. I think as you become more of a veteran coach on the fly, I think that maybe you can do that. But I also think, like, making sure that you cover certain things is really important early in your career. And so I kind of mapped it out. And then as I got more comfortable, I started to have just random ones throughout. You know, earlier in my career, I had them all penciled in my practice plan. 8 seconds left, Red's got the ball, this, boom. You know, I had them all embedded. And I was constantly rotating them throughout each practice. So I had a bunch of them, but.
And what I'm telling you as a young coach is you have to practice these. This is not only about the kids. This is about you. This is also being able to look at them. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons I do it, because I had a situation where, first of all, I messed up probably, and we lost the game, and I didn't sleep for like 3 days. And the second part is, once I started doing these, I could look them in the eye in a 30-second timeout and go, we're going to run Texas. We got this. Like, I can – the confidence, and you know where to go, and you know what to do. Now – you still only probably do it 30% of the time, and but there's a confidence that if you have that in the end of game situation and you've practiced it, I'm telling you, you'll win games.
I would say
we will help you win games because of
what
that.
I would say, coach, is that's when you get to that point as a coach and you're able to do that all the time and do it in confidence, that's when you're at the top of your craft. That's when you're winning state championships, you're winning games, is because that is that intellect ability to really look at the game and read the game and do it well on the fly. You know, because if you're stuttering at the sideline and there's 30 seconds, you can't do it. You got to have your team ready. And you got to be prepared for it. Are you teaching yourself to be prepared in that situation? You know, it's like, you got to be just as prepared as your players are, because they're going to feed off of your energy and how they feel. If you're confident, they're confident. If you have no idea what you're going to do, they're going to have no idea what you're going to do.
No. And yes, that confidence will take you a really, really long way. I'm just telling you, I wish I could describe it to you, but when you look, I mean, there's times I've known we were going to win. I could look in their eyes and go, we got this. And you practiced it. And the problem is, it will look horrible in practice.
Yeah. Well, you also got to remember, the other team knows what's going on in regards. Your players know what you're going to run. It never looks like it does. When it gets to that game, you're going to have more success with it than you think. It's never going to be as beautiful as it looks when it really happens, because when it does, it's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's like a great dance. All right. Thanks, coach. Hey, have a great, we won't talk till after Christmas. Enjoy your.
I hope my kids can, you know, I was up for St. Nick. I was up at 4:45. So hopefully I can get a little bit of sleep in.
So have a, enjoy it. I miss, I mean,
it's the best. My son is now speaking a little bit more sentences, and now he's he's really understanding it all. So this will be a good good year. Almost 3-7. It's going to be a fun year.
I know. It's a great age.
It's a lot of fun.
I miss the fog of coaching when my kids were little at that point. Yeah. I do remember it. I have pictures, but it's just the fog of actually coaching and Christmas was
a lot of fun, probably.
It was. It was a lot of fun. All right. Have a good one, Coach.
Yep. Sports Social Podcast Network.